The June 8th rain report is coming up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report. Software-defined radio, SDR, is providing new light and some very high-tech revitalization to old radios. Scotty Cowling, WA2DFI, spoke on multiple personality, SDR, during the Tapper Digital Forum at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention.
Lots of people have SDRs nowadays, and you probably have more than one. If you're like me, you collect them. And so now what do you do with your old ones when you get a new one? So after you buy your Flex 6700, what are you going to do with your soft rock, right? It's not big enough to hold the door open. How about you repurpose it to some other application? So what I want to talk about is these six applications here, and we'll go through them one at a time. I want to see how many people know and are familiar with these, probably a lot in the first few. And then I'll talk about a little bit about multi-personality repurposing the hardware, because it is SDR after all, so I mean it's supposed to just be same hardware and it does everything. So you can make your soft rock into like an FT1000 just with a software upgrade. So how many people know what CW Skimmer is? This caused a big furor here a while back at Dayton, because what CW Skimmer does is it decodes CW. Well, you can say, well, so what? I mean, we've had software that decoded CW for ages. Well, what this does is this decodes CW and it controls the radio and it shows you where on the band the signals are that it puts up on the screen. But what it does is it is simultaneous decoding. Okay, so, and this is what I'm going to tell you why SDR is really important to CW Skimmer and why CW Skimmer really couldn't have happened before SDR. But the key word here is simultaneous decoding of all the data streams in the passband. They put up an annotated waterfall display. Anybody who's used SDR knows what a waterfall display is, right? Everybody? The other thing that it does, since it's integrated into the computer, it can export the spots. So if you're operating assisted in a contest, say, and you see these guys on the screen, you can work the DX and then you can let everyone else know where the DX is. A long time ago, you had to manually be signed onto the cluster, enter the call sign, enter the frequency. Well, then they got rig control. Then you could just enter the call sign and it read the frequency after you worked them. But it was a lot of manual labor to do that. And the other thing that they kind of threw in was, well, as long as the processor is decoding the CW anyway, it has to have nice filters on it, right, to decode the signals. Well, they give you an audio output that has some DSP processing on it too. So if your radio doesn't happen to have that, you get that for free. And also, you can record. And those of you who have SDRs know when I say IQ recording, I mean you record all of the data. So for instance, you can record the entire 40-meter band during the sweepstakes, and then you can play it back later, and you can tune inside your playback. So it's just like being back in time and tuning around. Okay, so that's what it does. Now, why would we care about this? What can SDR do to help this? Well, remember I said simultaneous decoding in the passband? Well, what's the passband of your typical contest receiver? If you're a CW op and you got good ears, you might put it on 2 kilohertz, maybe 3 if you're tuning around to try and snag somebody. And then when you snag somebody, you're going to narrow it right down to 500 hertz, 800 hertz. Well, that's great, but how many CW signals are in the passband even at 3 kilohertz? What, 3, 4, 8? If you're a good operator, if you're the Kansas City pileup contest, you know, 30. But still, there's a lot more going on in the band than just comes in your passband. Well, guess what SDRs do? They decode the whole band at once. So why not feed that data stream to a CW Skimmer? Now, CW Skimmer can decode all of the CW signals in the band. So you're tuned to 14.010, and you see all the signals up to 14.060, and all the call signs are there. So you see that rare one come up, you can go work it. Oh, and by the way, to work him, you probably will just be able to click on it, and it QSYs your radio right up there, and now you're on frequency of the rare guy, and you can work him. So now a lot of people were incensed about this because they said, oh, this is not fair. This is computers running everything. And I go, come on, you know? I mean, what's a packet cluster? Okay, this is just a tool that you use, and if you don't know code, and this is another common misconception, oh, well, I don't have to learn code. I'll just get CW Skimmer, and then it'll just work everybody for me. Wrong. That's not going to work. The other thing that you can do with more modern SDRs, have you heard about these multiple receivers now cropping up, like especially in Flex? Probably heard it everywhere. So now you can put multiple band segments at the same time. So now you can be on 40 and you can see who's on 20 because the SDR receives all of it, especially with the direct down conversion ones that sample the whole band, like the new Flex, like HPSDR, the radios like that. Now you can copy all of the signals on all of the bands all at the same time and put them up on the screen. Non-contiguous bands span segment. So what you do is you have a separate receiver for each span segment. Okay, so you get your expanded spotting capability. So now you can be on 40 and you can be spotting to the cluster on 20. Now maybe you don't want to do that because you want to get there first and work the guy before you spot him, but hey, you know. And again, I mentioned IQ recording, so you can tune around inside your recording, which is pretty novel, I think. Just another application of an SDR. Whisper beacons. Who knows what Whisper is? Oh, wow, more people than I have SDRs. Okay, so I'm kind of new to this, but this is an intriguing application of SDRs. But for those who don't know what Whisper is, it's a network of internet-connected receivers, and of course you got to have transmitters too. The idea is that the beacons are very low power, and there's receivers everywhere. So you can get on, turn your beacon on, and then you can look on the internet, and you can see how many people heard me. So you can get a very accurate real-time map of propagation on whatever frequency you happen to be on. And it's a digital beacon, so it has very good signal-to-noise ratio, but what is better is that the software is very good, the receivers are very good, so you get very good sensitivity and decoding ability. So what does SDR do for us? The most important thing, I think, is when you're doing a digital up conversion, you're actually generating the sine waves, wave or waves, the envelope of the transmitter. Software generates the envelope of the transmitted signal. Well, if I want to transmit on 10 meters and 6 meters at the same time, that's just a different shaped envelope. That's just two frequencies at the same time. So the software just generates a different waveform that is two carriers on two different frequencies that happen to be two different frequency bands. So the point is that you could set up a whisper station that would have two or three or four bands all on the air at the same time with one transmitter, one SDR transmitter. So you could do multiple beacons and they can be simultaneous. And since it's an SDR, you can change the protocol. So when they decide to add something, add formatting, add different fields for the temperature at your location or some such thing, you can add that. And this is an example of someone who has made, how many people know what a Raspberry Pi is? Oh, everybody. Okay. Little $35 processor board that you can buy. This guy, WA0UWH, took one and he made a whisper beacon transmitter out of it. And all he did is generate square waves in the software and then put a low-pass filter on it. You get a transmitter. And this is good up to 250 megahertz. So pick your band for $35. So can't get a whole lot cheaper than that. And this is not a kit either. I mean, his setup is, but the board is assembled.
You're listening to a talk by Scotty Cowling, WA2DFI, about multi-personality SDR, given during the Tapper Digital Forum at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention. We'll conclude our excerpt from his technical talk in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, entering its 24th year of balanced programming for transmission over amateur radio.
You're listening to the RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
Okay, next one on the line is Chirp Radar. What Chirp Radar is, it's a way to synchronize the receiver and the transmitter over time and over frequency to help increase the signal-to-noise ratio at the receiver. And through the magic of this mechanism, I'm not sure I still believe this. I mean, it makes sense, okay, and it hangs together, but it's like, if you read down here, okay, you have a... You can receive a 36 dB signal-to-noise ratio. That's minus 36, by the way. And you get gain due to the fact that you're sweeping the frequency and you're integrating over time. And the trick is you have to have the receiver and transmitter synchronized. Well, that's kind of hard if they're not at the same place until today when you can use a GPS to synchronize the receiver and transmitter. So you can get a tremendous amount of gain and you can get a 100-watt chirp signal with a 10 dB gain antenna that's equivalent to a 4-megawatt signal. That's not milliwatts. That's megawatts. And so what they do is they take this and they aim it in a directional antenna up to the northeast, say, and then they listen at a site far enough away from the transmitter that it's not overloaded, and they listen for reflections, backscatter reflections, and they search out like e-skip openings in the ionosphere. And Phil Harmon and his buddies down there proved that this works. So yet another application for SDRs here. So what? Yeah, he did it in Australia, but you know we can want to do it here. So you have the same advantages as the whisper beacon transmitter. You can do multiple frequency bands at the same time. Suppose you want to see propagation on 15, 12, 10, and 6 all at the same time because you never know where the MUF is going to be, right? So I want to see when the band opens. Four carriers at the same time, same transmitter. And you can do the very narrow swept filters which are required for this application. A little hard in hardware, but it's not so hard in DSP. And precise time and phase delay measurements are just math, as I tell Jeremy all the time, is just software. So how hard could it be? Especially when I don't have to do it. It's another thing you can do with the SDR. Say you have an old radio sitting around, or say you have a new radio sitting around, and it doesn't have fancy features. Thanks. Doesn't have fancy features, so you want to add some waterfall or a spectrum display to your TS-520, okay? A pan adapter display. I don't have those things on my old radio. So what you do is you take the IF out of the radio that's already been converted down to a reasonable frequency and feed it into the SDR, and then you run an SDR program that gives you all those features. Filters, waterfall display, pan adapter display. That software is free. So you take your soft rock and hook it up to the IF. Well, guess what? Your IF is already filtered. It has all the frequencies that you don't want removed. It's a nice level. You don't need microvolt sensitivity. So it's perfect to hook up your SDR and make it an IF processor. Now, the other thing you can do, and I'm running out of time here, you can do a vector network analyzer. And mainly because all of the components of a VNA are already in your SDR. So why go spend thousands of dollars for a vector network analyzer when you have an SDR sitting on your shelf? I mean, you need a signal generator. Well, we got that. It's a transmitter. Directional couplers you don't have, but they're relatively easy to build. Receivers, you have a receiver that receives everything. So that's as many receivers as you can program in. And you have a nice processor and a very powerful display because you've got a PC. But the receivers must be coherent and use the same reference clock. Well, they kind of do use the same reference clock because there's only one. And you can easily sweep the source and vary the amplitude in software. So all these receivers can be one SDR because they receive everywhere. So it may not be quite as simple as this, and you're not going to have, you know, an Agilent $100,000 analyzer, but you're going to have something that's going to work pretty darn good for something that's free. Okay? So the transmitter can generate multiple simultaneous carriers, same as before, and you're getting the thread here is like the simultaneous carriers and the wideband receiver has lots of applications. Just think up new ones. Multiple synchronous ADC channels are inherently coherent because they're clocked off the same clock, and amplitude and phase information is available since they're coherent in the software. So again, software. How easy? How hard could that be? No problem. And this is an example of software that Phil Harmon wrote for Hermes, using Hermes as a VNA. So pretty impressive for something. It used to be your receiver, and now you're using it as a piece of test equipment. Next thing you can do, is the last one, is a Cyclops spectrum analyzer. Now, this takes a little bit of hardware, although it has gotten a lot easier. And you know what a spectrum analyzer is, right? Frequency on the X display and amplitude on the Y display. That's like a pan adapter. We all have that now. We all have spectrum analyzers, even though they're narrow banded. Okay, and the conventional one is double conversion to get rid of the images. Well, we found a way, and actually I didn't find it, Phil found a way, because you can change the IF in an SDR. It's harder in a hardware to find radio. So what you do is, this is the original way they had Cyclops set up in the multiple mixers. Well, the new way is this way. If you feed in a 100 megahertz signal and you have a 90 megahertz LO, then you get a 10 megahertz output here, right? Well, the problem is an 80 megahertz input and a 90 megahertz LO also produce a 10 megahertz output right here. So now you can't tell the difference between these two signals. So then what you do, you say, well, okay, I'm stuck now. This is why I shouldn't have taken my mixer out. But suppose now you just change the local oscillator to 85. Now your 100 megahertz produces a 15 megahertz signal, and that pesky 80 megahertz signal produces a 5 megahertz signal. Well, I can get rid of that because it's not the same as that. So now all I have to do, though, is tune my IF to 15. Well, hey, guess what? It's an SDR. I'm already receiving 15. So what you do is you change these combinations here of the IF and the LO, and you can subtract out in software all of the images. So they get gone. Okay, now I have 2 minutes left, maybe? Okay. So I want to tell that's the end of my applications. Now, this is kind of a multi-personality thing. When I first saw this B-Micro SDK, this is an FPGA development kit that you can buy for $79 from Arrow. And it has a big FPGA on it, and it has a 10100 Ethernet on it, and it has an 80-pin I.O. port. And so I thought, well, this is an SDR in the making. The only thing missing is all that RF stuff. You know? Anyway, so we came up with these boards that are the RF portion of a receiver. And so, not being a big RF guy, the first thing I did is I said, well, what has everyone else done? So, the HF2 high performance one is just basically a Mercury front end pulled off and put on a little bitty board and hooked to the FPGA. Okay? So, this is a little lower performance one, but this board is smaller than the size of a credit card. And it plugs on to the 80-pin connector over here, RF input here, and now you've got a receiver. And it's about $250 for a whole receiver like this. And the key I wanted to get to reach here after all that buildup was the personality of this is defined in the FPGA. I have an FPGA load that makes you just dump out raw IQ packets that you can use with GNU radio. I have an FPGA load that makes it look like a Hermes. You can do an FPGA load that makes it look like any radio you want. So when Flex comes out with a new radio or Perseus comes out with a new radio and has a different format of data over the Ethernet, just change the code in here and it looks like that radio.
This has been a technical talk about multiple personality SDR software, given during the 2013 Tapper Digital Forum at the Dayton Hamvention by Scotty Cowling, WA2DFI. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2013 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from the Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.